The UK is on the brink of collapse. In a survey of British citizens, over two-thirds said that the country is in decline, 20% more than just 3 years before. It isn't hard to see why they think this. Just trying to survive in the UK is all the proof you need. Every single part of life has ground to a halt. Take the NHS. It used to be a shining example of what universal healthcare could achieve. Now, it's in tatters, with nearly 8 million people on the waiting list for crucial appointments or operations. All the other parts of the government have been deprived in a similar way. Whether you are getting a new passport or reporting a crime, everything seems broken. Meanwhile, the economy of the UK has been stagnating for years. The prices of essential goods have risen to record levels, with food and drinks getting 25% more expensive on average in just the past 2 years. Buying a house for the first time is a pipe dream now, and rising bills and rents have bled a whole generation dry. The ticket prices for trains have skyrocketed, whilst delays and cancellations have gone up even faster. It's no surprise the question on everyone's minds these days is why doesn't anything work anymore? While the politicians might blame our problems on COVID or the global economic downturn, it doesn't change the fact that the UK is one of the worst performing developed nations in nearly every metric out there. So let's peel back the curtain and reveal what's really going on, the true reason behind Britain's slow march towards ruin. It used to be the case that if you didn't pay attention to the news, you could go through life in the UK blissfully unaware of any major problems. That time has been and gone though. Today it's impossible not to notice the decay the moment you step out of the door. A great indicator of just how messed up things have become are the roads. It's generally a simple job to keep them functioning at a bare minimum. In the UK though, even this most basic of duties has been neglected. It's estimated that there are over 1 million potholes in the UK right now, around 6 for every mile of road. Compared to 20 years ago, you're over twice as likely to damage your car by driving on British roads. And this is just one example of how the country's decline has taken a toll on the wealth and well-being of its people. Making sure there aren't massive holes in the road is a responsibility that falls on community governments, which in the UK are called councils. But the 317 different local councils that keep the country running are severely underfunded, understaffed, and overstretched. This isn't the only way that the UK streets have gotten more dangerous. Over time, law and order in the UK has been eroded by a wave of budget cuts. The police are now too understaffed and too overstretched to enforce most laws, meaning crimes have gotten far easier to get away with. Between 2022 and 2023, it's estimated that over 2.1 million cases were left unsolved with no suspects identified. That's over 6,000 every single day. Only around 300,000 crimes were actually ever prosecuted. And the results of this are disturbing. Even the amount of unsolved murders that happen every year has doubled since 2010. On top of that, a reduction of 4,500 community police officers since 2015 means that there's far less of a chance that if something does happen, there will be somebody close by to help. Even if criminals do get caught, the overcrowded and underfunded prisons make judges incredibly unwilling to properly punish the perpetrators. Instead of actual prison sentences, a night in the drunk tank and a small fine is often the only result of their actions. Cuts to all public services over the last 12 years have hit them hard, leaving them struggling to cope. A 2022 study on local government across the UK found that they had been hollowed out. Community centres, parks, and other public areas have fallen into disrepair or been abandoned. Over a third of all libraries have closed since 2012. More than giving people something to read, the facilities there were often the only way for some people to even apply for jobs or actually access a computer. But cutting away the few things councils actually provided hasn't saved their bottom lines. It's only briefly delayed their inevitable collapse. A whole slew of different councils across the UK fell into bankruptcy last year.
Birmingham is officially broke. The City Council, the largest local authority in Europe, is effectively bankrupt,
with one in five expecting to join their ranks over the next 2 years. And as you look further into the future, the picture gets even worse. In 5 years, half of all councils in the UK expect to go bust without intervention. It's a problem that reflects the growing inequality in the UK. First, there's the divide between the rich and the poor, which is among the worst in the developed world. There's worse relative poverty and higher mortality rates in some British towns than in Turkey, Romania, and Poland. That isn't the only inequality in Britain. A major divide that's been growing for decades is the massive gap between London and the rest of the country. The income per person in the richest parts of London is more than four times as much as the poorest parts of England. Money has flowed out of the rural areas and the other cities and into the capital. Now the only hope for most young people to get a good job is to move there and join the maelstrom of sky-high rents and £7 pints. You would think a country with such unequal capital would put its focus on making sure people can get there quickly and efficiently. But by now, you can probably guess, it's the complete opposite. The UK has the most expensive train fares in Europe. So what do people get for the extra price they're paying? Over 40% are delayed, around 3% are cancelled, and on top of that, there are still constant strikes over low pay. For a country where over a million people commute into the capital every day, with the vast majority taking the train, it's a shameful display. This is such a big problem in the UK right now. Luckily, I have a solution for getting a balanced perspective on news that keeps me fully informed. It shows me the bias from the media on both the left and the right, highlighting what each side focuses on and ignores. It's called Ground News. So let me tell you about the feature I used for this video to ensure both sides of the political spectrum were covered in this video. Go to ground.news/moon to check them out. The My News Bias feature has a really useful personal dashboard feature, where you can get insight into your reading habits to see where you're getting your news from and if you have any blind spots, which shows you your most read news sources, the article biases of the stories, the factuality and the ownership of the news organizations you read, which was really useful for understanding my own bias that I wasn't aware of before to make my opinions better informed. They also have a blind spot feed, which shows stories that are disproportionately reported by one side of the political spectrum, while also providing access to primary sources alongside how the news interprets it, bringing to the surface roughly 20 of these stories per day, meaning you'll always be informed. Their app and website gathers related news articles from around the world on any topic, with context like a source's political leaning, reliability, and ownership, so readers know exactly where information is coming from, gathering news from 50,000 sources around the world every day. And with the Ground News bias distribution feature, they clearly show how widespread the economic issues are in the UK right now, with Ground News reporting that 43% of media coverage of the economic problems in the UK was by centre-leaning sources. Now, Ground News relies on subscriptions to keep their mission of transparency going, so support them by going to ground.news/moon to check it out. The same plan I use to get all the features for just $5 per month. And with my link, you will get 40% off of their unlimited access Vantage plan. As we've seen, every part of the UK government has been systematically underfunded and cut to the point of collapse. But nowhere is that more clear than in the NHS. No other victim of Britain's demise has caused more suffering and hardship for its people. Suffocated by bureaucracy, the health service loses billions to oversights and overpayments. There's such a shortage of staff for Britain's aging population that a large part of the gaps are filled with outside private agency staff. One of their shifts can cost as much as £2,000, of which nearly half goes to the agency rather than the nurse. There are a number of predatory corporations squeezing the NHS dry. When COVID hit, it was at its worst. The NHS was so overloaded, it nearly collapsed in on itself. The UK, like the rest of the world, dire needed protective equipment for both the patients and for the NHS staff. The contracts to make and sell this gear to the government were auctioned off to the bidders best connected to the Conservative government at the time. In just this one scam, £1.6 billion in contracts were given away to friends of politicians without any competition. But you can be sure the government got the best deal they could for such an important life-saving product. Either they didn't receive the care they needed in time, or there simply wasn't enough staff paying attention to intervene at the crucial moment. Even as Boris Johnson sat in a hospital bed suffering from the disease, his cronies were busy making them all a profit from the crisis. You can easily blame the Conservative government, which has been in power for over 12 years, for lots of this decline. It's true, a large part of it falls on them. Their policy of austerity, cutting public services, mass migration, and general neglect has led to this decline. But even though you can justify blaming them for a lot of it, they're not the only ones. Lots of these problems have actually been decades in the making. Despite our technology getting more advanced and our countries getting so much richer, people's lives are somehow getting worse instead. So how is this so? This is especially happening in the UK. House prices and rent have risen to ludicrous levels, shutting millions out of owning a home. All of these symptoms of decay have hit young people especially hard, making them apathetic towards a country which has taken everything and given pretty much nothing in return. The world has gotten so much more advanced, but people are still struggling to survive. Workers and factories are more productive, but there's somehow less to go around.
Levels of unemployment within that subsection, then people are pushed into accepting low wages and poor working conditions.
The whole point of a healthy society is to make things better for your children, and it seems like it's being completely forgotten. It's a frustrating paradox which lies at the heart of the UK's decline. And to find the answer to this paradox, we need to go back and take a look at how the UK has changed over time, how its economy has shifted away from production and actual goods, and how it became the most successful tax haven the world has ever seen. Britain's historical wealth can easily be explained by their empire. They enjoyed over a century of near complete domination of the world, turning the country into by far the richest and most powerful country. Owning or managing a third of the world and all the world they're great will do that. But today, you'd be forgiven for thinking that they've just been coasting on that buildup of wealth ever since. But whilst they might have lost over overt political control over their colonies, that isn't the complete story. Instead, the UK and other colonial powers outsourced their domination.
A new day in Hong Kong. Gone are the British who ruled Hong Kong as a colony for 156 years, and in their place are the Chinese, complete with a new legislature and thousands of troops.
As they left their former colonial possessions, the UK and other Western nations would strike a deal with whoever ended up in charge. The old status quo of draining a country's resources was kept in place. The only thing that changed were the politicians doing the dirty work. Local leaders were happy to siphon off funds and take money out of the system. Meanwhile, using the last of their island colonies in places like the Caribbean or Hong Kong, the UK then set up tax havens. Even though these places were technically out of UK jurisdiction, it was all a smokescreen. The UK and the banks that called them home were still in charge, and they used this lack of oversight to set up a system of secret trusts. Using these agreements, anyone well connected with the right people could secretly store their money away from prying eyes. It's a simple system when you get past all the things they put in place to make it seem complicated. Whether you're a corrupt official from a newly independent developing country or just a drug dealer, you could store your dirty profits through the system. The UK and their banks could hang on to the money, using it to grow their own fortunes until you needed it again. This system was so successful it fundamentally transformed the entire UK economy in a process called financialization. One Berkeley professor estimates that over £5 trillion is tied up in tax havens, of which the British control the largest sliver of the pie. Other estimates put the figure closer to 20 or even 25 trillion, and we have no real way of telling. However, it was clear that banking and finance became the way the UK made its money, whilst actually making things slowly died out. It's how London became so much richer than the rest of the country. The glass skyscrapers at its centre were the beating heart of this system. But how did this make the UK poor over time, if so much money was still flowing in? While the amount of money that the UK made from the shift to banking was enormous, only a small amount of it ever gets into the wider economy and into people's pockets. It mostly either stays in the accounts of the super rich establishment or disappears into a web of offshore holdings. Unlike regular tax evasion, which the tax man is keen to crack down on, this institutional fraud doesn't get punished. The people with the power to do something about it are the ones benefiting from it. When the Panama Papers were released, they revealed just one small part of a massive system of fraud. Everyone from Hollywood movie stars to massive corporations were in on the scam. But possibly the most shocking development in the scandal was when the father of David Cameron was outed by the leaked documents. He had been running a major operation hiding tens of millions for his friends and family. Other top UK government officials were also named in the documents. Of course, nothing happened after the massive leak, other than a few phony arrests years after the fact. The UK did head a global conference on fighting tax evasion, but it was all just for show. As of January 2024, the UK hasn't charged a single company under the new tax evasion laws they unveiled a year after the leak. In fact, this enrichment of the upper classes has come at the expense of everyone else in the UK. With so much money, the new class of ultra-rich tax avoiders started buying stuff, anything which might be a profitable investment. The most important and popular option was housing, which inevitably sent the prices skyrocketing past wages and inflation. Over £100 billion worth of property in the UK is secretly owned. Instead of finding a person or a company when you follow the paper trail, you'll inevitably get led to an offshore shell company. Meanwhile, government after government has put up more red tape and barriers to new houses being built. As the less houses there are overall and the higher the demand is, the more their investments are worth. It's a 1-2 punch that has ruined the next generation's chances of owning a home before they're 40, if they're lucky. But it wasn't enough for these people to siphon off the money that the UK was making. There was more money to be made by squeezing the revenue out of the rest of the government.
A survey for the Resolution Foundation found that 11% of Britons, the equivalent of 6 million people, hadn't eaten when hungry because they didn't have enough money for food.
You might have noticed, Britain seems to be in a permanent economic crisis. Ever since the 2008 financial crisis, and especially since Brexit, growth has been slow, productivity has been stagnant, and the UK's public finances have been under permanent strain.
And that's not the only issue. Look at the gap between rich and poor. And you can see the UK, the higher these bars are, the more unequal. The UK is much more unequal than many other countries around Europe, particularly Northern Europe, particularly the Nordics.
Key services like the water system and the trains had been sold off years ago, but the well-connected people in charge began squeezing as much as they could out of them. Even if they stopped working properly, and even if there was sewage leaking into the rivers or a never-ending series of strikes, it didn't matter. They weren't the ones suffering, they were the ones profiting. Lots of these policy changes have come under the Conservative government of the past 12 years, but they're not the only ones to blame. While the Labour Party might not be so obsessed with cutting public services, they also can't rock the boat over tax evasion. Last time they were actually in government, one of the things that brought them down was a scandal over taking money from the public treasury. They had been charging the government itself for their own luxuries and second homes. Their only problem was getting caught. They should have stuck to shell companies and tax evasion rather than being so obvious. The whole offshore tax evasion system began as a way for the UK to keep its implicit control over developing countries after they had gained independence. It meant they could keep raking in profits from their resources and labour pools. But over time, it turned into a feeding frenzy. The game was to see who could suck the most money out and keep it for themselves. Nothing was sacred, every public service was systematically drained, and the profits were used to damage the UK's economy even more. Eventually, this process of financialization robbed Britain of its old production-based economy whilst offering nothing in return. All the money floated up to the top, and we're seeing the results of this in the modern UK's crushing inequality, lack of policing, crumbling healthcare system, and lack of affordable wages. Greed has no limits, and letting it carry on forever can be disastrous. If tax havens aren't exposed and their funds aren't put back into the UK economy, the country will continue to decay until it inevitably collapses. If you enjoyed this video and you want to learn how to make videos like I do on this channel, where I'll show you behind the scenes stuff and how we post so many videos, on how we create the videos in the first place, and how I grew the channel to have over 1 million subscribers, you can join me in Moon Society. For just $5 a month, you can talk to me and a bunch of other content creators to grow your audience and make better, more meaningful videos together. While I'll be doing specific YouTube Q&As, calls, and regular posts to give you as much help as possible. So if you're a filmmaker, creator, someone who wants to make meaningful content and put it online, you can join me and hundreds of others at Moon Society on School. Use the link in the description below.